Hello there, thanks for joining us. It's the Sweet Spot. This is Bruce Millington. That's Steve Palmer. Or is that Steve Palmer? I can never remember which side I'm on. Anyway, we are here to take you through this week's golf tournaments. Two exciting events to preview. Steve, if there's any truth in the rumour that the early bird catches the worm, you'll be catching plenty of worms. What time were you up this morning?
I was up at 2:30 a.m. in the work shed, beavering away because I've got to get clear by 3 p.m. so I can get to Plough Lane.
Goodness.
The eyes of the sporting world are on Plough Lane tonight, as you well know, for the FA Cup first round replay. And the only way I could get there was to get up at the hour. So, yeah, I've got a mouth full of worms.
You're leaving at 3.
That's leaving at 3 p.m. Yeah, for a 7:45 kickoff.
You're cutting it fine there, I'd say.
Yeah, but there's duties to be done. So I'm going to get there as quick as I can. I've got Keith's a very good driver. He's driven tanks. He's a very experienced driver. I think he can get us there in time.
Okay, good. Well, good luck with that. How many are Weymouth taking?
I don't know. The weather's particularly miserable today, isn't it? But I'd like to think we'd take 15,000 or so.
Okay, mate. Well, good luck with that. I mean, I'm looking at it now. I'm only about 10 miles away from Plough Lane, and the weather is absolutely atrocious up here. So,
well, it's a great leveller, isn't it? It's a great leveller.
Yeah.
It would be chopped up at 9-1 to win the match. It is an insult. But that's the same price that Tommy Fleetwood was last week to win the Ned Bank. So we can use that as inspiration.
Well, that segues nicely, doesn't it? Because, we'll start our review last week. It was F was the letter to be on last week, Fleetwood and Finau. And I should think quite a lot of punters backed a winner last week because they're both fairly popular, weren't they? Yeah. We'll start with Fleetwood then. I mean, it's an oddity that it was his last win and yet he defended his crown. It was his first win for 3 years and yet he defended his crown because obviously COVID robbed us of the last two Ned Banks. And it was quite an exciting win and it was also quite touching, Steve. I kind of, when these big shots come down into a lower grade and not dominate, but get the job done, you kind of think, they'll just smile, accept the trophy, pocket the cheque and away they go. But he was in floods, wasn't he, on the 18th?
Mm. It was an incredible reaction, wasn't it? Yeah. I suppose the victory drought really got to him. And, the emotion came out there. But, I don't like to see that from a player, winning an event like that. In terms of judging them for future battles, this is
that's very hard.
Potential major champion, and there he is crying about winning the Ned Bank. I mean, yeah. I thought it was a peculiar reaction, but I've got to be unkind.
Oh, you're very harsh, Steve. I thought you were a little bit more soft-hearted than that. I thought it was lovely.
Well, I'm soft-hearted in every respect apart from the golf betting world, the dirty, ugly, nasty game of golf betting where we're just here to judge everybody on everything they do, aren't we?
I like happy tears. I always like seeing happy tears because, I mean, life's so full of woe and anger, isn't it, and all that. And when someone's happy, they burst into tears. I think it's lovely. And he did well, didn't he? I mean, he said that he dedicated the victory to the course doctor, basically, didn't he? Because he said I couldn't quite get to the bottom of what was wrong with him, but he said he was so ill that without the doctor, he wouldn't have even started on Thursday.
Yeah. He had a touch of heat stroke, didn't he, before they got going. I mean, it was extraordinarily hot in Sun City last week. The clue's in the name. I suppose with those big long locks that he's got, he got very sweaty and uncomfortable. Maybe he needs a trim.
Exciting finish. Ryan Fox, another F, he was up there, played very well indeed, didn't he?
But he did.
Incredibly, probably crap shot of the year, the tee shot on 18, wasn't it? I mean, what on earth?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I mean, he's had an amazing season, but he does have the ability to throw some absolute howlers in, particularly on the greens. Yeah, you're never over the line with Ryan Fox until you're over the line because, he can miss the shortest of putts. He's a clumsy golfer, but I'd swap places with him in a heartbeat because he's winning. He's having the best season of his career. He wasn't on the radar last week. I'm not going to beat myself up about that. I was wondering whether I should beat myself up, but then when Christian Bezuidenhout opened at 22-1, it was just game over for me. I had to have all my eggs in the Christian Bezuidenhout basket at 22-1 because that was the wrong price, and I got me place money from him. So I've decided. After mulling it over for a few days,
you're not going to beat yourself up.
I'm not going to beat myself. Okay. I'll leave that to the Wimbledon fans tonight.
Oh, I'm sure it won't be like that. I think they're a benign bunch, aren't they? By the way, that looks like the warmest football shirt I've ever seen. It looks
oversized.
Pretty sort of thick and heavy duty.
Yeah, it was extra, extra, extra large. It was the last one in the shop when I went to get it. So I just went XXXXXXL. It's like a tent. Yeah, keep me warm tonight. Good.
Okay, anything else to take out of Sun City? Oh, one thing I must say, we always say to our viewers, do let us know who you fancy. So we're going to give you a shout out. We've got to give a shout out to Darren Walker. He put three up in the Ned Bank. Tommy Fleetwood, Badizenhoot, and Sharma, who got the full place at 250 to 1. So Darren Walker's the toast of the commenters there.
Yeah. Mr. Loverman, Sharma. Yeah, well done. Yeah, it was great. It was nice to see Sharma back in amongst it, wasn't it? Yeah, a very likable man. But yeah, well done, Darren. Well done, Darren.
Very good. Anything else there? Or should we move across to the Houston Open?
I think we should probably have a chat about Rasmus Højgaard or Rasmus Hogar, as Ewan Murray has taken to calling him, because he just has these most incredible scorecards, doesn't he? On Sunday, he dropped four shots in three holes from 7 through 9, then eagled 10 to get back into it. And then three bogeys in a row from 13 to 15. So, yeah, if you've been following Hogar recently, it's just like his scorecards are just comical. I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Very much so. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm not sure about a chat. I haven't really got much to come back on that. But, I think it was worth flagging up.
Definitely. Yeah. But I'm going to stick by him. He's young. He's aggressive. We all make mistakes when we're young and aggressive. I think he's going to be a a superstar.
Okay. Over in America, then, the Houston Open was won in convincing fashion by Tony Finau, who put daylight between himself and his rivals early doors and cruised to victory, 16-1, I think he was, round about. And he's gone from being a contender but a very rare winner to being a contender and a regular winner now, hasn't he?
Well, very much so, John. He's won three PGA Tour titles in the last 4 months. He's a five-time champion now. Yeah, long gone are the days when we used to look to lay him on a Sunday if he hit the front. He's a comfortable front runner now. He topped the driving accuracy stats last week. He topped the greens in regulation stats. He hit every fairway in round three when the strongest of the winds. Yeah, that was where he put the tournament to bed. Bogey free in round three. You're really impressed with Tony Finau. I was just heartbroken he didn't win by five shots or more, because I backed him to win by five shots or more on Sunday morning at 13-10. He's eight shots clear with six to play. And then he was getting frustrated about the pace of play. He's a very fast player, and he was held up on the 15th tee for ages. And then he missed a little tiddler on the 15th. Tyson Alexander, visor wearer. he held a 32-foot birdie putt on the final green to scupper that bet. So,
there you go. So you say that people with visors don't have the cojones to win golf tournaments, and he's proved you wrong there, hasn't he? Funny you should say that about visors, because I was thinking, I was in Spain the other week, and there was a woman on the beach with a visor on, which I just thought was a very peculiar piece of kit for a kind of holiday maker to use. And it made me think that the days of the visored golfer are over, really, aren't they? They're very rare now, aren't they?
Yeah, there's not so many out there now, but Tyson Alexander's come onto the scene, and he likes a visor. He's a two-time winner on the Corn Ferry, but, I don't think he's going to amount to much wearing a visor.
Well, and there, I saw an English chap called Ben Taylor in contention as well. Tell us about Ben Taylor.
Yeah, another Corn Ferry graduate who's, he held himself together better than I thought he would on Sunday. His previous best finish on the PGA Tour was 20th place prior to last week. So, all credit to the lad. Tony Finau, he was short in that market, but I don't think many people would have backed him, because he missed the cut in the Mayakoba, and then he said he practiced really hard after the Mayakoba and then found his A game in that. But how is a punter to know that he's going to find that answer in that space?
Well, I suppose do what you do and watch all the pressers, you get all the info, don't you? If you'd watched his pre-tournament, would he have said that he was hitting it sweetly?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't think he would have admitted it. He's such a nice fella, isn't he? He never gets too cocky. A word of warning for anyone backing this week. I'm not entirely sure he's 100% fit, because I did watch his pressers afterwards and after each round, and he was talking a lot about going to the restroom. So I think he did win last week despite having a few issues in the restroom.
That's more of a bug, isn't it, rather than an injury, surely, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no injury. No, I just didn't know whether he's... He might have eaten something that didn't agree with him.
What a player.
And he's a major, he's on every major radar, is Tony Finau. He loves majors. He's now a comfortable front runner. We got to take Tony Finau seriously. Well, we were beforehand, but even more so now.
All right. You okay? You seem a little bit crestfallen in regards to last week's golf. You haven't got your usual verve.
Oh, just a bit of bewilderment coming over from Monday.
Oh, yeah,
the Craig David
Monday bewilderment.
Bewildered on a Monday. Yeah. Getting kind of bullish on a Tuesday because I do feel like I love this week's tournaments. I think they're great.
Oh, you do? Oh, great. Yeah, well, let's tap into the bullishness, the Tuesday bullishness, shall we? Should we start with the DP World Tour Championship? It's got to be
a golf tournament, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then, right. So, yeah, it's the DP World Tour Championship over in Dubai. I shall tell you the market, and Steve can tell us all about the tournament and then tell us who he fancies. So, yeah, I mean, some big names dominate the markets. These are roughly best prices. You might get bigger elsewhere. You might get better place terms, but it's 3-1 Rory McIlroy, 9-2 John Rahm, 9 Matt Fitzpatrick, 10 Victor Hovland, 14 even Tommy Fleetwood and Shane Lowry, 18 Tyrrell Hatton, 25 Ryan Fox, Jordan Smith, 28 Rasmus Højgaard. What does he call him? You and Murray?
Højgaard.
Okay, and 30 bars. So what a tournament. Some big names there. I think the front seven take out nearly 78% of the book, I think. So, you know, it's threes on that one of those seven wins. We'll find out whether Steve fancies one of the fancy contenders or some at bigger prices after he tells us all about the tournament.
The Earth Course. Jumeirah Golf Estates, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, 7,675 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s, Greg Norman design. It's hosted every Race to Dubai finale. We started this in 2009. Wide fairways, hardly any trees, large greens. The winning score has never been worse than 14 under par. Not much breeze for the first 3 days. Bit breezy on Sunday. So, yeah, I think a birdie fest for the big hitters.
Oh, I meant to tell you before we started, I want you to weave a new piece of info into your course guide. Field size. How many runners are there?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, yeah. 50.
I think it's worth doing that, isn't it? Because people want to know whether it's a full field or, you know, it can affect how many extra places you get. So should we make that a regular thing now?
Yeah, let's, yes.
Okay, brilliant. So there's 50, is there? And there's what are they playing for? There's a huge pot at the end of it, I presume. Is there?
Well, yeah, there's a $3 million first prize, $10 million purse, $3 million to the winner. So, I mean, it's up there as one of the biggest prizes in the game. We don't like to talk about live golf, but yeah, for a DP World Tour event, this is as good as it gets.
Okay, mate. And it starts very early on Thursday morning, so get your bets before you go to Night Nights on Wednesday. How many selections you got?
So I like that.
I said no, it's pathetic, wasn't it? It's imbecile.
No, it's wonderful.
I really wish I hadn't said that. Anyway, how many selections?
Two selections.
It's like one of those imbeciles who says, oh, five sleeps till Cheltenham. Two selections, that's the big news.
Not many right sleeps till World Cup, is there? It's creeping up on us, this World Cup. We'll have to discuss that later, but yeah.
Have you got World Cup fever or not? I'm just really struggling.
I haven't, because I can't fancy anyone. I haven't found anyone. It's finding it a really hard tournament to get my head round. I'm hoping the pullout.
Tell me when the pullout is for you there. So on Thursday in the Racing Post, an 80-page monster guide. It'll be the best guide ever. I can confidently say that. It'll be the best guide anyone produces on the World Cup. That's in Thursday's Racing Post. And also out on Thursday, a special preview video, myself, Mark Langdon and James Milton. So tune into that. We'll take you through all the best outright, top scorer, group bets and everything else. Tournament starts on Sunday. Very much looking forward to it. But back to the tournament that starts in that neck of the woods on Thursday. You've got two selections. Yeah. Who's the main man?
Brilliant linkage. Yeah. Thanks. Qatar, Dubai. Yeah, the main man is Rory McIlroy. Burlington Bertie, Rory McIlroy. what price can Rory McIlroy be for this? Seeing that it's impossible to find chinks in his armour. I cannot find a chink in Rory McIlroy's armour. His record at the Earth Course is so consistent. Form figures from 11 starts of 3, 5, 11, 1, 5, 2, 1, 9, 24, 6. So two victories, 7 top fives. Has never finished outside the top 20. His two wins have been with totals of 23 under par and 21 under par. Only 4 times in the history of this event has 20 under par been reached. McIlroy has been responsible for 2 of those 4 scores. He is a total of 153 under par for 44 rounds at this track. His course credentials are emphatic. Don't forget he's twice won the Dubai Desert Classic. He loves teeing up in Dubai. He puts a real spring in his step when he gets there.
His current form is outstanding.
His current form is incredible. 3 wins in his last 11 starts. One of those wins, easy to forget, is the Tour Championship, for which he started 6 shots behind Scotty Scheffler. From the Tour Championship onwards, His form figures are 1-2-4-4-1. He won the CJ Cup. Won the CJ. He's really going to get you going. He won the CJ Cup last time out. He's had 3 weeks off to freshen up for this. Four rounds guaranteed. No cut event there. 50 runners, no cut event. 72 holes to assert his superiority, only 49 to beat. And there are three significant extra layers of motivation inside Macro this week, which I think justify a hearty wager. Firstly, he's looking for his version of the transatlantic double. We're always chasing the transatlantic double. We get very excited about the transatlantic. This is McIlroy's chance to get it because he's won the FedEx Cup. He's looking to put the Race to Dubai title alongside it. And he's never won them both in the same year before.
Anyone ever won them both?
Yeah. Luke Donald did it. Did he really? Yeah.
He played well last week, didn't he, by the way?
Yeah, surprisingly well. All credit to the lad. He's going to make a fine Ryder Cup cap'n.
Okay.
But yeah, this is something that Rory's never done before. He won the Race to Dubai in 2012, 2014 and 2015. He won the FedEx Cup in 2016 and 2019. And we know how frustrated he is about this majors drought. You know, he gets really upset about it. We all get really upset about it. He can elevate this season to a great one. If you get the FedEx Cup and the Race to Dubai in the same season, you've had a great season, regardless of major performance. Secondly, he wants to cement that world number one status. He got very emotional after CJ Cup when he returned to world number one. It means a lot to him. And he would have been really twitchy about Scottie Scheffler nicking it for him. Scheffler was so close to regaining the world number one spot. McIlroy knows he needs to put some distance between him and Scheffler. And finally, he's keen to lay the ghost to rest. I always tap into your memory bank and end up disappointed, but I don't think you're going to fail to remember last year's DP World Championship when we were on Rory McIlroy at 6-1 and he's going into the Sunday in the lead. Colin Morikawa starts like a blooming train on the Sunday. Rory McIlroy's tied with Colin Morikawa on the 15th tee. Hits a wonderful approach, smacks into the flat stick, spins off into the
bunker. Yeah, gotcha.
I knew that would be in there somewhere.
Thank you.
So, that was the start of a horror story. Those final five holes, he finished 5-5-5-3-6, three over par stretch. That 15th hole destroyed him, lifted all the pressure from Morikawa. McIlroy was so angry after that round. He went to the clubhouse and ripped his shirt off like a sort of Incredible Hulk style thing. Yeah, he's on a revenge mission this week. Highly motivated favourite.
Wow. Blooming heck. That's dramatic. Okay, right. So, Steve very much fancies Rory McIlroy, the favourite, at 100-30. And he's got one other tip. Who is?
It's Minwoo Lee at 33-1 with Betfred as we speak. A 24-year-old with the world at his feet. He's won two DP World Tour titles. The last of them was a Rolex Series event. He was 14th on his Masters debut this year. He's shown he's a man for the big occasion. I think he's fearless in this company. You've got McIlroy, John Rahm, Victor Hovland. Yeah, Minwoo Lee knows he belongs in this company. Last year, he was making his DP World Tour Championship debut, and he was absolutely knackered. He said he was running on fumes at the end of the year. He played in the final seven events of the DP World Tour season. Despite that mental fatigue and despite opening with a 72, a pretty humdrum opening round, Minwoo closed with three consecutive rounds of 69. For 16th place. It was a rock solid debut despite the handicaps he had. He's quickly shown a liking for desert golf. He was fourth in the 2019 Saudi International. He was fourth in last year's Dubai Championship. This time, much fresher for this event. He's in great nick. He was third in the Spanish Open at the start last month. He was third in the Andalusia Masters. He took the best part of a month off before last week's Nedbank. Course debut at the Gary Player Country Club. Can't expect much. He finished eighth. Minwoo is finishing the season in style. Big runner.
Okay, we'd better spin through some of the other big names at the top of the leaderboard, haven't we, Steve? And John Rahm's the obvious first port of call there. What do you make of his chance this week?
He was a very angry man after the CJ Cup. Yeah, McIlroy outscored him by five shots over the weekend of the CJ Cup. Rahm dropped from first place to fourth place. He missed lots of tiddlers over that weekend. And then he said he was battling swing thoughts when he was interviewed afterwards. He was really, really grouchy. He said he was desperate for the close season. You know, he just wants the holidays. He wants to go and play with his two young sons. So I'm not sure he's going to be able to switch it back on this week. Yeah, Rahm's got a good course record. He's a two-time champion here, but much prefer McIlroy.
Matt Fitzpatrick, what's he like around here?
Another two-time champion. You've got really, really, really queer setup this week. There's only three course winners in the field, and they've both won it. You know, they've all won it twice. But he's another one. Fitzpatrick, a bit like Rahm, seems to be flagging a bit. You know, late in the year, he was tailed off at Wentworth, where you'd expect him to go well. He missed the cut by three shots at Valderrama as defending champion there. So, yeah, he's got a great Earth course record, but I think he's just lost a bit of sparkle in recent months.
Okay, and who would you like best out of Hovland, Fleetwood, and Lowry?
Hovland. Hovland's tempting because his iron play was exceptional last time out in Mexico. I think he's getting his act together again, ball striking wise. Putted terribly in the Mayakoba and finished 10th. But he's inexperienced at the Earth course in comparison to the other market principals. This is only his second visit. He finished third there on his debut. But yeah, that's 10 years less experience than McIlroy at this course.
Okay, and did anyone else almost force their own staking plan?
No. Hovland I toyed with for a little bit. But I'm absolutely delighted with the staking plan. Yeah, it came very easy to me, this one. Rory McIlroy and Minwoo Lee are the standout bets.
Okay, let's switch our attention now across to America, where the RSM Classic takes place at Sea Island in Georgia. And as things stand, Finau is going to attempt to go back-to-back. He's 9-1 favourite. He absolutely dominates the market. Brian Harman, 22. Seamus Power, 25, along with Jason Day. And then Taylor Montgomery and Tom Hoagie are 28s. And it's 35 bars. So Finau, easily the star name in this field. We'll find out whether Steve thinks he'll be the star come Sunday evening after Steve's told us all about the course. Quite a shorty, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two shorties, actually. The Seaside course and the Plantation course, both at the Sea Island Resort in Georgia. The Seaside course is 7,005 yards, par 70. The Plantation course is 7,060 yards, par 72. 156 runners going to post this week. So they will play one round on each course.
That's what I love about you, Steve. Throughout your career, right, you've always been the most diligent professional person I've worked with. I've only ever had to tell you once, and you just absorb it. You tell them until you're blue in the face. you're just such a pro. So well done there. Anyway,
I appreciate those comments. So yeah, we all gather on the Seaside course for the finale. So three rounds at the Seaside course.
Okay.
I should tell you more about that. We first hosted in 2010. And then the Plantation course didn't come in until 2015. So that's quite interesting, isn't it?
It certainly is, mate. I can't believe it. How many selections?
Four!
Right then, here we go. Who's the first one?
Seamus Power. I think the island of Ireland is in for a special week this week. Yeah, McIlroy's going to win the DP World Tour Championship. Seamus Power will be winning the RSM Classic. Maybe these two could come together to be Ryder Cup partners next year in Italy. It's entirely feasible. Power has won two PGA Tour titles now, won the Bermuda Championship last month, followed up with third place in the Mayakoba event. He's up to 30th in the world ranking. Self-belief never been higher. And this week's assignment right up his alley, the Seaside course, short, fiddly, coastal track, accuracy fully rewarded, need to be a good scrambler around these tricky little greens. Power's got all the tools for this, and he proved that last year. Opened with a 63 at the Seaside course last year, finished the tournament in fourth place. I just see no reason why he won't contend again. He took last week off. He's not going to rest on his laurels. You know, he must be sensing the opportunity. Go take your opportunity. You know, he's got a Ryder Cup debut in his grip. He's top of the FedEx Cup standings, for Pete's sake. I think he's going to power on.
Lovely stuff. Seamus Power is the headline selection. Main danger?
Mackenzie Hughes, 40-1, former RSM Classic champion. His maiden PGA Tour title came in this event in 2016. He opened with a 61 at the Seaside course. He was on 59 watch. He closed with three pars, ended up winning a five-man playoff on the Sunday. That was his tournament debut. He was a PGA Tour rookie. He was ranked 287th in the world. You know, you give him no chance. It was an amazing victory. He didn't make an impact again in the RSM until last year. Opened with a 63 at the Plantation course last year. Closed with a 62 at the Seaside course. Finished runner-up. So we know that Hughes can destroy both of the tracks. This time he's arrived with more confidence than ever. Won the Sanderson Farms Championship at the start of last month. Gutsy playoff victory. He's finished top 25 in his last four events. He's a great bet.
Brilliant. Next.
Matthew Naismith. 45-1 available. One of the best iron players in the world. He's not a long driver. He's not a great putter, but he's arrow straight from tee to green. The Seaside course is a venue where he can beat anyone. He was 14th on his RSM Classic debut in 2019, 15th and 29th in the last 2 years. This time he's arrived with confidence sky high. He was 9th in the Sanderson Farms Championship start last month, second in the Shriners Children's Open, ninth in the Zozo. He was 53rd last week at the Houston Open. Long course doesn't suit him. He's going to get back in contention this week and could threaten a maiden PGA Tour title. He's a South Carolina man, short hop over the Georgia border. He's won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2019. He's going to break his duck shoe.
Is he the sort of player that people say he goes quietly about his business?
Yeah, he is a quiet man. He seems a gentle character. He's David Toms like. Yeah,
David Toms is the patron saint of golfers who go quietly about their business, isn't he?
In your favourite golfer of all time, he could develop into the next David Toms quite easily.
Yeah, exactly. I'll keep an eye on him. I've been looking for the new DT for years.
Keep a beady on him.
I certainly will. And finally,
100-1. Can't believe what's going on there. I don't really understand how you can chalk him up 100-1, given his potential. Davis Thompson, who made his PGA Tour debut in the RSM Classic in 2019 when he was still an amateur and he finished 23rd. He's a former world number one amateur. In his amateur days, he won the Jones Cup, which is a competition played at a different Sea Island course, and he won it by 9 shots. This is his part of the world. He attended the University of Georgia. He lives in Sea Island. He says he's played the course, played the seaside course about 100 times. His father, Todd, is the RSM Classic Tournament Director. So we should be able to guarantee a good set of tee times.
Todd Thompson, that's a funny name.
Todd Thompson is your Tournament Director.
That's quite a good name, that. I like alliterative names.
That is a good name, isn't it? And he'd be very proud of his son, and because he's playing so well now. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour in June, got promotion to the PGA Tour. And he started life as a PGA Tour professional really impressively. He's played 4 events, made the cut in all of them, 9th in the Fortinet Championship, 12th in the Shriners Children's Open. He's got huge potential. You won't get 100-1 about Davis Thompson for much longer.
Okay. I says I've gone lurking right down at the bottom of the betting. There's a couple of old favourites. Bill Haas gets a start, and so does Davis Love. Davis Love, of course, is the king of Sea Island, isn't he?
His
manor.
Oh, yeah, he'll command a big gallery. He could tee up there at the 80 years of age and he'll command a gallery.
Absolutely, mate. Brilliant. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed for that. Well, we better talk about Fee now, of course, haven't we?
Because it would be hugely remiss of us.
He's the standout. Yeah, it would be remiss of us not to talk about Fee now. I mean, is it a case that you wouldn't be surprised, but you just can't quite go near him at nines? Is that roughly it?
It's another 9-1 chance, isn't it? Yeah, I think there's more chance of Weymouth winning at Wimbledon tonight than there is of Tony Finau winning this golf tournament. He won back-to-back in July, though. We must mention that. 3M Open, Rocket Mortgage Classic. He likes a bit of back-to-back action. But he's not got much course experience. This is the key point, which there was a bit of early 10-1. I thought, but he's only played in one RSM Classic. That was way back in 2014. Before the Plantation course came onto the roster rota. So I would say, given he's making the Plantation course debut, you can avoid 9-1.
Okay. I felt all like Jeff Shreves there. That's the first time I've ever asked a question that begins with, is it a case of? He loves the questions. Like, was it a case of the injury knocking your momentum just at the crucial time in the first? I love those ones. It was a case of that. Yeah. Anyway, right. Should we reiterate, Steve?
I think we should. We've got 6 tips.
Okay, 6 tips. 2 in the, the DP World Tour Championship, which are?
Rory McIlroy and Minwoo Lee.
And then in the RSM Classic, we've got 4.
Seamus Power, Mackenzie Hughes, Matthew Naismith and Davis Thompson.
Lovely stuff. Well done, mate. Right then, so football, we've got the FA Cup tonight. Good luck with that. And who you get Chesterfield in the next round if successful, don't you?
Yeah. We're in spitting distance of the third round now, I feel.
And what are you going to do with the World Cup? You're going to wait for the pullout. That's what I am.
I'd like to say, I think this is the most needed pullout the punters have ever had.
Yeah,
I
mean, much needed.
It's much needed because I've never gone into a World Cup with less confidence in working out who's going to win. I'm hoping Charlie and Lango, Milts and Co. have got it all sussed out because I certainly haven't. I mean, I was toying with Belgium. I thought Belgium looked a big price, 18-1, and then
Lukaku's gone. Lukaku's injured. De Bruyne is obviously magnificent, but
I've got the goalkeeper and De Bruyne, but that's not enough, really, is it?
Do you think England can win?
I'm not ruling it out because I can't rule anyone in, if that makes sense. I have no idea who's going to win this. And I might just follow. Yeah, very unlike me. I might just follow a tipster.
Yeah, why not? That's what people do with you, isn't it? So why shouldn't you do it to others?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
get to see it from the other side. Then if you follow a tipster as someone who people follow, you sort of get, you know, you'll be able to look and see how it feels.
I'll ask, perhaps ask Kevin Palin what he thinks. I mean, I just haven't got the time to look into it anymore. I thought Belgium looked a big price. And then when I did a little bit of delving, you know, Lukaku's injured and Hazard's injured and they got no chance of this. So, we shall see. I know you like the Danes, but
The Danes. Yeah, I certainly do. And who knows? The one thing I would say, Steve, is I think once you get to that round of 16, it's kind of, you've got VAR, you've got luck, you've got a little bit of thing going your way or going against you. I actually think that, you know, you can overstudy these things. You've got a bunch of teams there that are, you know, are really, really good. And one of them's going to get the rub of the green. I'm just not quite sure that in knockout tournaments you can be that confident, you know.
No,
it's
I'm
only 90 minutes, isn't it? There'll be a lot of penalty shootouts, no doubt, won't there?
Anything can happen over a game of 90 minutes of association football, isn't it? Gamble responsibly would be my message on the World Cup.
Yes, absolutely. And indeed on this week's golf. I mean, obviously, Steve's very confident on Rory, for instance, but he's quite a short price. So, you know, don't get carried away. If he wins, he wins. If he loses, don't do any damage, please. Right then, Steve, we're back next week to look at the Joburg Open and the Aussie PGA. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll be able to bask in the glory of Weymouth and England doing well in the World Cup. But in the meantime, let's hope the golf goes well for you. Good luck tonight. See you next week. And thank you so much to everyone for joining us on The Sweet Spot. We hope you can join us next week.